The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Really, branding is four things. It's who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you do. It's how you do it. And it's make me care.
Okay.
That's the hard
part.
That's
a good, you're right. That on top of all those things, so I can brand those. But if nobody cares about it,
right,
it's not going to matter.
So I would start with goals and understand, Cal, what is it you really have a passion for?
Okay, that's, so goals would be passion. Would that also, could it be, I just need a job. I need to better my job. I want to get away from this Doc Thompson thing, this guy, and make money.
You know what? There's a whole lot of people out there that are, in fact, in transition.
Okay.
Because the job market is getting pretty hard and lean times, and companies are right-sizing, downsizing, upsize, whatever size they are.
So
it's that, too.
I think it's also changing in the fact that, you know, when we think branding, you think a company or a certain product that wants to establish what, like you said, those four things.
Uh-huh.
But I think moving forward today, and we're you know, the economy's changing and how people are working is changing. The you know, the days of working at one place for the entire career and retiring are over. So you kind of have to brand yourself. You have to come up with...
You are a business.
Exactly.
You're the business of Cal, and you're going to run multiple,
you know, what they call the gig economy, working multiple things to bring in multiple revenue streams. So you have to market and brand yourself as to what you do, how you do it, and attract your clients to why they should hire you. So it's kind of thinking in a whole new sense, kind of bigger picture on a smaller level kind of thing, you know?
It started, actually, that's how the whole branding thing started, Cal. In 1997, Tom Peters wrote an article for Fast Company, and it was called The Brand Called You. And that's when he said, you know, all the mergers and acquisitions were beginning to happen back then, and companies were letting people go. And it was like, oh my gosh, I'm with IBM. Now who am I if I'm not with IBM or whatever? And he said very clearly, Doc, what you said, you are the brand, right? So if you are as strongly branded in yourself and you're working for a company that has a strong brand, wow, isn't that great? So companies that understand that it's important their people have a handle on their best attributes and what they bring, their value, then that increases the brand of the company. But yes, if something happens, you take your brand with you wherever you go, if you're clear on it. So to answer your question, it's the goals.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you're really good at.
Okay.
What are the attributes? What's your reputation? What do other people think about you?
They know his goals. It's money. what he's good at, money, that's sleep. Undetermined.
I'm pretty good at sleeping.
We got to figure that out.
Exactly. Reputation. Maybe we can clean that up a little.
Questionable.
And then a plan.
I'm not sure people fully get this concept of branding individual, that they are a brand. In fact, it's probably seen as more of a detriment at this point. Let me give you an example. Most people recognize that in today's world, no matter what they do or where they are, even if they're just seen as, you know, cog number seven in some corporate machine, and it's not like you're an entertainer or something, that you could simply tweet something out at some point, and it could become such a problem that you could be fired for it because it's controversial. So in that regard, they recognize the brand that, you know, everybody's under the microscope at any given time. People are realizing that more. But I don't think they get that you can also brand yourself, that you are that individual to go and get jobs, that it can work for you as well. But here's something interesting. As we move forward with this idea of all of us marketing ourselves, and marketing can be used at times to be phony, right? I mean, you can market Cal, here's who he is, here's what he does, but there's a lot of people that market products or people, and you know it's not real, it's just their game. But in the long run, do you realize the potential benefits, the moral benefits of this? That if we all are forced to be in the public spotlight on some level, held accountable for what we say and do, isn't there a solid moral value that may come of that?
Absolutely. You know, the word authenticity is what's so important. Don't we know if somebody's coming across and they're just like fake? I mean, how many coming up events will we go to, and let's say it's a social event and you walk up with someone and they're talking and they're doing this.
They're looking around while they're
periscope, right? They're looking for who else they need to see, and then they, and you know darn well it's just facade. So if there's one thing that's so important, at least for me, is to make sure people are coming across authentically.
And if you can fake that, you're in.
I don't think you can. It catches up with you.
You know what's funny? I think you're right about that. It eventually will catch up with you.
It will.
But I think most people are not great at telling when people are phony. Not the real slick people. Eventually they will. But there's a lot of people that are slickered up front. Eventually,
that's
you're right,
true.
It's going to catch up with you. Valerie's book, by the way, is Do It Right, The New Book of Business Etiquette. Explain what some of the new business etiquettes are. What is new business etiquette?
Can I just start with civility? Oh, my gosh. Rudeness is rampant, and as long as it is, I'm in business. Why are people so angry these days and so rude? And
what the hell do you mean by that, Valerie?
Well, I don't know, but I'm going to catch you on that one. Doc, I could talk forever on that.
Yeah.
People just think they can do and say anything.
I think that's societal, too. But certainly it's bled over into business.
So go back to morals. Where are they? We could have a whole show on that.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't do much for your brand if you're in business.
So tell me how people, knowing that there's more and more rude, that there's poor etiquette in business and mm-hmm. just in life in general, mm-hmm. how does somebody use that to better brand themselves or to do better in their business, personal life? Would it be recognize that so many people are phony and rude and be different? Is it that simple?
Well, it's not quite that simple, okay. But I will tell you that if a manager or a boss, CEO for sure, because it starts at the top, if they create an engaging organization where people really want to work there, let's look at you two. Why are you still here?
Keep asking ourselves
here?
That all the time.
That's a great opening, by the way. But you care, right? You're doing something you love. You're feeling engaged. It's making a difference. You're bringing value. It's really not difficult for bosses to try to create that kind of an environment in their organization. And when they do, then people feel more at ease to really be who they are instead of, I have to act a certain way, have to do things a certain way, or I'm going to get fired, and all this fear factor.
Mm-hmm.
Fear is
a killer.
It's a killer. And there's a lot of fear in business today.
It keeps you from saying and doing the things you need to do. Sometimes, challenging a boss, a coworker in a professional way to something that's wrong,
mm-hmm.
a failure of the company, a moral failure and whatever. Most people won't do it. It's difficult because you're putting your job potentially online to challenge somebody, even if you're doing it for the right reasons, even if you're doing it for the company selfishly. It still is difficult.
It's difficult, but that's why we have HR.
That is true. Yeah, that is true. No, you're right.
There is a sounding board. But I hear stories all the time about people who challenge something that's unethical. And if they're willing to do that, you know what? They're willing to say, and if you, company, aren't going to fess up and do mm-hmm. what's right, I'm not going to work here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
A lot of this, especially in businesses, I think it boils down, in personal life too, to truly caring.
Yes.
If a company,
yes.
And I've had this discussion around here with numerous people.
Yes.
When you start with caring and truly wanting the best for your employees and being engaged, and it's not just, I hope they all do well and I'll pay them great. That's a nice start. But it's saying, what is it Cal wants to do long term?
Mm-hmm.
What is it Doc wants to do and Chris and everybody else? No one cares about Kirk, but everybody else, what do they want to do long term in their life?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? What are your goals? Do you always want to do this? Do you want to manage? Do you want to do whatever?
Mm-hmm.
If you simply know those, care enough to know, it's going to help you make decisions in the future. And when it's time for opportunities, I never knew Cal wanted, I would have hired him. I didn't know he wanted to do that. We hired somebody outside.
Right.
And then that translates to you caring, truly caring about your customers. I think that solves so many problems. If that's your compass, I think you're in a good spot.
Knowledge is power. Tweet at us with the hashtag #WhatILearnedToday. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.